Murder and Moonshine, a true crime podcast with a southern twist.
Hey y'all, welcome back to Murder and Moonshine. This is Christy.
And this is Misty. And today it is Christy's story.
It is. And I'm going to go ahead and preface right now and say, we're going to make a lot of fun of this story.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to take away from the fact that, yes, it is a tragic murder.
Right. But there obviously are some circumstances around it.
There's going to be a lot of shit
and
talking.
And knowing you, there's no telling what the fuck that could be.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And we're going to continue drinking this 90 proof that we had last week because, come on, y'all, we cannot finish a bottle of 90 proof.
Broad Slab Legacy Shine, handcrafted Carolina White.
From Johnston County.
Yes.
And there's more than half left.
Yeah.
And we were fucked up last week.
We were. It made us very giggly.
Yeah.
Very giggly.
So we're going to get there quick like again.
I am looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to
it. And you're going to need something strong because I'm going to make you view some pictures
that
correlate with today's story. And it's going to be firsthand reaction. I want them to hear it.
So they have to be horrible if you're wanting a firsthand reaction.
Oh, they're great.
Oh.
The greatest.
I don't know why, but my throat's tightening up right now.
And it's nothing like the normal pics I make you look at of the actual murders. This is not it.
Okay.
This is not it. These.
Oh, I'm concerned. I'm so concerned.
These are great.
I got much anxiety right now about it.
Let's go ahead and take a shot.
You want to broad slab it right now?
I want to slab it right in my mouth.
Let's do it.
Right
with a bomb ass clink.
Yes. Cheers, bitches. There's a little dribble that came out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Because I was clanking hard.
Ooh. I saw that little dribble.
It was a hard clank. I know.
That's hot.
It's my first one today, so.
I know, it's been a few weeks ago we posted a video on TikTok of us drinking something. I think it was that 144 proof.
It was.
And I was like, that's hot, that's hot, that's hot. And we've had the most comments of people laughing at me. I'm like, look, y'all, we feel like fucking dragons.
And it was called Fire, and that was duly noted. I mean, it was so absolutely hot. On point for that. So, yes. But I have a funny story. I seen an article.
Mm-hmm.
It was a guy's mugshot, and he's straight cheesing. I mean, you could see all his teeth. He's grinning big. He is proud.
Okay.
And he had gone and cut off 37 man buns doing the Lord's work.
Wait. What, you talking about their hair?
Yes.
Their hair was up in a mat.
Their hair was pulled
randomly
up
cut off.
37.
37?
He's a fucking magician. How did you get 37?
And he said it was doing the Lord's work?
It was doing the Lord's work. I'm like, I don't know. In pictures I seen of Jesus, he has some long hair.
Right. So how does he correlate?
Maybe it was just the man bun.
Is inappropriate? Ponytail part?
He looked very, very pleased with himself.
With his work?
I feel like he was 37? Like new record.
37?
37.
Where was this at?
I don't know.
How the fuck do you get away with cutting 37
right?
people's hair?
And I mean, I'm trying to think, have I ever been in a location where I seen 37 man buns at one time?
What?
And I don't know for a fact that it was all in one location, but
right.
37 sounds like, it, you know, he was on a spree, a man bun cutting spree.
Okay, but a man bun, any bun, is relatively thick.
You think. Let's say that's thin.
You're
hair.
Not just going to grab some scissors and cut it real quick like. That does not happen. So what tool is he using?
It did not specify if he had shears or clippers or what. But he did remove 37 man buns.
What if he had some battery-operated clippers and just grab it?
And kept it going.
That I
mean, he
see.
Had to be quick with it.
Well,
to
yeah.
To get 37
yeah.
in. And if this was going on over a period of time, because it didn't specify if it was a one-hitter spree, you know, just snatching 37 man buns right, left, and
why,
center.
Why does he have a hatred toward man buns?
I don't know, but he felt like he was doing the Lord's work. Snatching them man buns. So I hope all y'all out there that have man buns,
Poor guys.
Are keeping it safe, you know? I never knew that they needed to be protected, but I know. Apparently.
They're precious cargo.
Apparently they do.
Apparently there's a cult out there that hates your hair. I
that man
no
specifically.
Wow. I can't imagine. I can't think of any one thing I hate so much that I would just totally go around to random strangers.
I don't either.
And strip them of whatever because yeah. I hated it so bad. Now,
maybe if you thought you were doing the Lord's work.
Well, I was on a diet one time and I'd been on it for a minute and it was really hot and I was standing outside in a parking lot waiting on somebody to come out and I looked over and there was a lady eating ice cream and I did want to go slap that fucking ice cream right out of her hand and stomp it in that pavement.
Because you couldn't have no ice cream. You were secretly ice cream hating.
Girl, I was hating on her, but I didn't physically do it. Like, I think that's the difference.
Right.
I can. I had the thought. I had the rage. Right. But I didn't act out.
I kind of go, took that fucking ice cream.
In my mind, some shit happened. But in reality.
That's called adulting.
Right.
That's called adulting.
Well, you know what? After that, and even before I can even tell you the name.
Yeah, I have no clue what this is about.
Of today's episode. We're going to take one more drink.
Oh, okay.
One more shot. Then I'm going to give the name and then I'm going to give you the trigger warnings.
Okay.
And you're going to be like, oh, that's why we had to take two shots.
Okay.
So fill up your cups. Cheers, bitches. That was a good clink.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm, this is a little rougher than the other day.
Okay. Ooh. We're going to dive right in to today's episode, The Poop Picks Murder.
Bitch. Bitch. I ain't even got the moonshine out of my mouth. You calling this the Poop Pick Murders.
Picks.
Poop as in shit.
Shit. Picks. Plural. Murder. And it is a murder.
Oh, wow.
That stems from some poop pics.
Now I am very concerned about the pictures you want me to see later.
I can't wait to see your
face. Oh,
the trigger warnings for this episode are child abuse, murder, cross-dressing, transsexuality, and coprophilia.
Coprophilia.
Coprophilia, also called scatophilia or scat.
Oh, my God.
Scat is the Greek word for feces, so coprophilia is the paraphilia involving sexual arousal and pleasure from feces.
Fuck you, bitch. I'm saying that for all of us listening to this story.
I can't even believe that this shit is on my laptop history now. I mean,
literally,
like,
that shit is on your laptop.
Literally. Pictures, everything.
Well, I watched a documentary on that McAfee guy, the one that went on the run and may have killed his neighbors, and he made the McAfee antivirus spyware stuff. And anyway, they said in that he was into scat porn and scat sex.
And I've heard it called, for whatever reason, I've heard it called potty games. I guess you shit and pee on each other.
No,
like, I think we've talked about it on Patreon before, but
no.
I'm not into any of that. So I didn't know what coprophilia
was.
I had
bacteria.
To look it up. I can't even imagine. Just the smell alone. Like, even if I didn't see it, just the
God.
The temperature.
I can't believe.
The heat. The warmness.
No. No.
Whoa. And that is why we took two shots before we
even
start.
We're going to need so many more. Okay.
It's going to be a lot.
All right.
We're starting in 2012, and we're going to be talking about Dylan Redwine. He's 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan, his parents are Mark and Elaine, and Mark and Elaine are divorced, and they live 6 hours away from each other. They're still in Colorado. Colorado's a big state, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Mark's living in Durango, Colorado, which is in La Plata County. Elaine lives in Monument, Colorado, which is like in the Pikes Peak area.
Gotcha.
6 hours away from each other.
Right.
For the most part, Dylan and his older brother, Corey, live with their mother. But since the divorce, there is a custody agreement in place between the two parents. And even being so far apart, the boys did still see their dad. They made arrangements.
Right.
The next scheduled visit with their dad was for the week of Thanksgiving in 2012.
Oh, this is in the 2000s.
Yes, okay. 2012. Dylan was adamant that he did not want to go see his dad. He did not. His older brother, Corey, 7 years older than him at this time. So Corey was 20 and he no longer had to go
right
to that court-ordered visitation.
So he was going to his dad's by himself.
By himself.
Right.
And Dylan was so upset about this. He told his mama, he told his brother, and he's like, I do not want to go. He made such a fuss that his mom, Elaine, actually made an appointment with her lawyer, Amber Harrison, and this was her divorce and custody attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And Amber told Elaine point blank, if you do not put Dylan on that plane, you will be charged with contempt of court, which means you can go to jail.
Right.
Because it is court ordered, it's mandated.
God, that is such a sickening feeling.
Yes.
Such a sickening feeling.
Elaine did her best to reassure Dylan the best she could. I mean, what do you do? She doesn't have a choice.
Right.
She gets Dylan safely on the plane, and it takes off, and that's the last time Elaine ever lays eyes on Dylan.
Mm. God, it makes me sick on my stomach right now.
November 8th, 2012, Mark Redwine picked up his 13-year-old son, Dylan, from the Durango La Plata County Airport. From the airport, they stopped by Walmart mm-hmm. and then back to Mark's house. I think they went and had some dinner
right.
at a cafe or something too. But anyway, they're back at Mark's house.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan was actually supposed to spend the night with a friend of his. He had, through the years, spent enough time. And this is where his mom and dad lived when they were married as well.
Oh, okay.
So he was familiar with the area. He knew the people.
Right.
And he didn't want to go to his dad's. And if he did have to go to his dad's, he didn't want to actually stay with his dad.
Right.
So he had made friends to spend the night. I mean, he had made plans to spend the night with a friend of his that night.
Right.
And they'd already texted, made arrangements before he'd ever even got on the plane and went.
Sure.
There.
Yeah.
But when they got back to Mark's house, Mark refused to let Dylan go stay the night with that boy.
Mm.
So Dylan and Mark both stayed at Mark's house that night. But because Dylan was not able to spend the night with his friend, he had made plans to meet this friend the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, very early, 6:30 a.m. the next morning, and they were going to go fishing. These kids like to go fishing in this area. So the friend had set his alarm, made plans, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the next morning comes, and Dylan does not meet his friends. His friends call, text, they get no answer. Later on that same day, which he had spent one night at Mark's house. Mm-hmm. So today it's November 19th. Elaine calls 911 to report her son missing. Elaine told 911 that Dylan is visiting his dad in Durango, Colorado, and that his dad had just texted her and told her, hey, can't find Dylan. So she's 6 hours away.
Away, and he's not the one calling.
He's not the one calling.
And then letting her know what's going on.
He actually texts her and he's like, have you talked to Dylan? Have you seen Dylan? She's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I put him on a plane 6 hours away.
You know damn well I haven't seen
him. He's with you.
Yeah.
And so, no, I haven't talked to him. You know, what's going on? And he's like, hey, can't find Dylan. So Elaine told the dispatcher that according to Mark, he had no idea where Dylan was at or where he had went. Elaine expressed how scared she was for Dylan. He's only 13, and at this point, he hadn't even been at his dad's for 24 whole hours. I mean, he got on the plane midday on the 18th.
Right.
This is the morning of the 19th.
Right.
And he's already missing.
Yeah. That would immediately throw up red flags when you message me and ask me if I've seen him, knowing damn well I've put him on a plane.
Right.
Yeah.
Elaine texts Mark back. She's like, you know, I am so suspect of you right now. How could he just disappear? How can he just flat out disappear?
Yeah.
And you have no idea. So Elaine and her current husband and her older son, Corey, Dylan's brother, and Corey and Dylan, both of their dad is Mark. Mark is both of their dads. So I just want to clarify that. I know I did earlier, but they all get in the car, drive 6 straight hours to Durango.
Absolutely.
Because nothing's going to stop them from finding Dylan
at this
point.
Yeah, that's your kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let me give you a little info about Durango and La Plata County. It is very mountainous. It is very extreme rugged terrain. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, to some of the most rugged terrain in North America. And then the immediate concern is the weather. This is November in Colorado.
Right. So they're thinking snow.
Right. After the sun goes down, I mean, it's below freezing every night, every night. And by the time Elaine got to Durango, the authorities had already been alerted and a search party had been formed. A man named Roy Vreeland was titled the search coordinator. Roy reported the first night Dylan was missing, the search party was out well after dark. So right. We're talking middays when it came together. They start making a plan, get out there afternoon. They're out till after midnight. And he said that he himself was out till after 1 a.m. searching.
Right.
Interesting. Mark Redwine did not help with the search at all.
What?
As a matter of fact, he didn't even come out of his house.
That motherfucker.
Now, keep in mind, this search party was gathered outside Mark's house. This was kind of their meeting point.
Oh, my God. And he never even came outside.
No. Not only did he not come outside, he did not speak to anyone involved in the search and then turned all his lights off and went to bed.
What?
On night one. Night one.
So not only is he diabolical, but he is fucking stupid.
Well, yes.
So he is evil and stupid.
Yeah.
Not a good combo.
And he's got some issues. We're going to learn all about them.
I bet he does.
We're going to learn all about them.
I bet he does.
You know, normally you think if your kid's missing, you're not going to sleep.
How could you? Yeah.
At all. At all. And then I'm a parent, so I'm thinking if my kid's missing, I would turn every damn light I had on.
Absolutely.
I don't know if it's like a maternal instinct.
Is my baby cold? Are they hungry? Are they hurt?
Anything you can do to help.
I can't go and get snug in bed.
He did. He turned all his lights off.
And
went to bed.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Without even coming outside and telling them thank you or anything.
No.
Just crazy.
He has to know that don't look good for him.
Within the next few days, several hundred people had gathered to help in the search for Dylan. They were split up into groups and given maps and specific areas to search. Some were going to go up the mountain, some down, some were going to go between the mountain, the lake, all these different areas in this rugged terrain. Mark, who at this point had still not physically searched for Dylan himself, was doing interviews. He liked the camera.
I can't stand
him. He liked crowds. Mm-mm. So if there was an interview to be done.
Crowds that were paying attention to him.
Right.
Yeah.
And in these interviews, Mark would push for the search party to search around Mountain Lake Dam. And this dam is about 7 miles away from Mark's house. And he said that was Dylan's favorite place to go fishing. And that Dylan was an avid fisherman. This is where he was supposed to go meet his friends that next morning, or where he and his friends were going to go that next morning.
Right.
Mark even said that he's looked all over his house, all over the garage, and he cannot find Dylan's fishing pole. So he truly believes Dylan went fishing and something happened. And he thinks that if Dylan was going to go fishing by himself, he would have went to the dam. So okay. He is focused on getting everybody out towards this dam.
Okay, to look now, for I don't know, but it's 7 miles from his house.
It is.
And Dylan is 13.
13. Mm-hmm. How he would have got there,
that's exactly,
no
I'm
idea.
Like, he's not going to walk 7 miles in the cold to go fishing. Like,
but that's where he was pushing him. Apparently, that was something common Dylan did.
Okay.
And maybe he hated spending so much time with his dad that he was willing to walk 14 miles round trip. I don't know. By this time, Elaine was like looking at Mark like, fuck you.
I see you, motherfucker.
Yes.
I know what you're
she
doing.
She starts grilling him.
Hell
she's
yeah,
like,
I would too.
And she wants to know, did you get in a fight with Dylan? Was Dylan mad? Was he upset? Was he sad? What? Give me some answers. What is going on? She is sure that Dylan would never leave without at least telling Corey. Even if he wasn't going to tell his dad.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't want to tell his mom, he would still not leave without telling his brother. He and his brother were very close.
Right.
He would have gave him some inclination.
Yes.
Some idea.
Yes.
And she told him, she's like, Mark, there's no fucking way he would have just left like this. Days went by, and the search for any sign of Dylan continued. Elaine had continuously stayed in Durango and helped with the search every day. Local churches had prayer vigils. This story made national news, okay?
I can't believe I don't know about this.
Corey is also questioning his father. Corey told Mark, it was your responsibility to keep him safe. You didn't, so go find him. Get off your ass.
Right.
And go look for him.
Absolutely.
Well, at one of these church vigils, Mark was present. He got up and he addressed the crowd, thanking them for coming, and he spoke about Dylan. And Mark said, and I quote, these are his words, I want every one of you to know how much I love Dylan and how much I cared for Dylan. He was such a wonderful boy. He meant everything. And unfortunately, his mom and I don't see eye to eye on things, and I wish that could change.
First of all, he's using all past tense.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to pick up on that. That was why I said these are his words.
Like you're talking like you know he is gone for good.
Why would you say, I want you to know how much I loved him, how much I cared about him, that he was such a wonderful boy.
Yeah, that is
weird.
Suspect as fuck.
So Mark insistently claimed that he left his house early that morning on the 19th of November to go run some errands. And then when he got back home, Dylan was missing. And Elaine has said from the very beginning, she don't fucking believe that.
Yeah,
and
especially
she don't trust Mark.
When he was not wanting to go so bad.
Right, right. Elaine reported that Mark had told her during their divorce and custody proceedings that he would kill those kids before he would let her have them.
Mm.
After Dylan had been missing for several days, Mark's other ex-wife, yes, there's another ex-wife, but he doesn't have children with that one.
Right.
She came forward and she told investigators that Mark had told her several times that if he ever had to get rid of a body, he would leave it out in the mountains and let nature do the work for him. At this point, Mark is brought back into the police department, not for an interview this time, but for an interrogation. Because he's gave him nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
He's not given anybody anything up until this point. Local authorities and the FBI were both asking Mark the same question. Where is Dylan? The very first fucking thing to come out of Mark's mouth. Well, you know, obviously it's no secret. I believe Elaine is involved in this. You know, I don't know how she would do it or what she did or who she had involved, but I'll tell you what, Elaine's at the bottom of this thing.
Mm-mm.
That fucking infuriated me. She even went to her lawyer
to be able
see
to
see if there was a way that she didn't have to make this kid come see you.
Yes.
She calmed this kid.
I'd be ready
her
to fight
her heart
him.
Was ripped out that she even had to put this kid on the plane right. in the first place. And then you're going to say, well, you know what? Even though she's 6 hours away, yeah, she's involved.
And she put him on a plane.
I think she did it. Like, how, what the? Fuck and she's the one out here in these fucking below zero temperatures in the dark looking for him. You're in your bed asleep with the lights off.
Right. Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
I hate this bastard. That 90 proof is kicking in because I'm about to fucking cuss. I hate this bitch. It just, and the, of course, the investigators aren't buying the shit for a minute. Mark says that he thinks Dylan and Elaine had gotten to a fight. And so once Dylan got to Mark's house, he just packed up his shit and ran away because he didn't want to have to go back to Elaine's house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He was that delusional.
What an idiot.
Delusional.
I mean, did they not? I would be like, okay, can we please bring the lawyer that I went to see
right.
in and court?
That comes into play.
It comes into play. Good.
2 months go by and still no sign of Dylan. 2 months. Mm. And let's be realistic. A 13-year-old boy and this child, because he's obviously still a child at 13, was small. But, you know, boys are different. Like, boys can have their growth spurt at
later.
13 or fucking 18
yeah.
or anywhere in between.
Right.
It could be anywhere. So he was 13 and he was still relatively small. He looked
right.
like a little middle school kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
2 months in the Colorado wilderness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know it's not going to be good.
Right. There's just,
because it can't. Physically, it can't.
Well,
you can't survive.
I'm not 100% on this, but I think, what is it, 48 hours or 24 hours within a child being taken?
It's that, 48.
Yeah.
If you don't know something in those first 48, it's going to be really
that
hard
it's
after
really
that.
Bad. Yeah.
Right. So 2 months have gone by. I just can't imagine what Elaine's going through.
Right.
I just can't imagine the turmoil of not wanting but to send your kid in the first place.
Then holding on to hope that
they're somehow still out there.
This is going to be fine. Yeah, yeah, we're going to find him.
Yeah. In January of 2013, so he went missing in November of 2012. We're in January of 2013. Elaine and Corey hold a fucking protest right outside Mark's house. Like, okay. Crowds chanting,
do what you got to do.
Signs, bring Dylan home. They're right outside his front door. Well, this draws the attention of the local news, and they show up, and this is when Corey agrees to do an interview.
Okay.
Corey states, Mark is the last person to see Dylan, and he isn't giving us any help or any answers. He's actually making this as hard as it can be, and he needs to be held accountable. Corey goes on to say there's a lot of doubt in Mark and that he totally believes Mark had something to do with Dylan's disappearance.
Right.
So for Corey, that's like one of the first times he has went on record accusing his dad.
Right.
Elaine has made it known.
Yeah.
She's been public.
But see, then people can look at her and be like, oh, well, she's the scorned ex-wife.
Right.
You know,
right.
She hates him. She wants to take him down. But to hear your own son.
This is Corey saying this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the FBI and the sheriff deputies secure a search warrant for Mark's house. When they got there, they noted Mark's eyes were bloodshot, but he had not been crying. He was saying the words that he wanted to find Dylan, but never actually made any effort whatsoever himself. Once inside the house, the cadaver dog alerted to the odor of human remains in the living room, kitchen, and in the back of Mark's pickup truck.
What?
Still, with no physical evidence, they needed more.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go off a dog. You have
right.
to have something. So they asked Mark to take a polygraph test. To cover all their bases, investigators performed polygraphs on Mark and Elaine.
Right.
Elaine passed, no questions asked.
Yeah.
Mark failed the test, and he was found to be deceptive, specifically to the question, do you know where Dylan is?
Right.
Detective Tom Cowan confronted Mark, like, look, she passed, you failed, you need to come clean and tell us everything. And, okay, I put this in there because it's relevant to the story. It is facts of what took place.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have a lot of faith in a lie detector test.
Yeah,
I don't have a lot of faith in a polygraph test. We watch true crime for a fucking living, okay?
Yeah.
Like our life depends on it. And I have seen just as many cases where the detective said, you failed, you lying, you're deceitful,
right.
You lied about this, you lied about this, you lied about... And come to find out, no, they were telling the truth. And not one time.
Right, or it comes up inconclusive, which...
When it's inconclusive, it's because they're telling the truth, but they just say, well, it's inconclusive.
Yeah, or they're nervous or something like that.
I don't have faith.
Right.
In
well,
the
that's why you can't
test.
Use those in court.
Right. And Mark,
it's just a tool.
Mark failed, which I mean, you know, on one of the interview tapes, the whole fucking time Mark is sitting there like being interrogated, he's fidgeting, he's cleaning his glasses, he's messing with a string on his shirt, and won't make eye contact. It's like he's being bothered. He's just doing something to mm-hmm. keep his attention. And
looking
then
guilty as fuck.
But then he nonchalantly, he's like, Tom, which was the detective I was telling you, I can't help you find Dylan because I don't know where Dylan is at. And, I mean, they gave Mark every opportunity to confess.
Yeah.
And Mark said, quote, I'm never going to confess to something I didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Around this same time, Corey, who's 20 years old, confronted the police and said that he wanted to provide them what could be pertinent information.
Okay.
So let's pause. We're going to fill our little cups up. Take a little shot.
All right. I got us ready.
We're all ready. You always do a generous heavy-handed pour.
I know. I'm on point with that.
Bitch is 90. We could get away with a half a pour.
Look, you got to ride home. Even a three-quarter pour.
I do. Well, I mean, I ain't got to go ride home. So. Fill it up, because you're gonna need us something.
It still makes me anxious. I have no idea what's coming here.
Cheers, bitches.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it went up in my nose that time.
That's what it did to me last week. Like, I felt it.
Kicked them allergies right on out.
What allergies? What pollen? Okay. Corey tells the investigators that back in July of 2011, now we're going this almost 2 years ago.
Okay.
July of 2011. Dylan went missing November 2012, and right now we're in March of 2013. So we're going back to July. Corey and Dylan were visiting their dad, and the three of them had went to Cleveland for a baseball game.
Okay.
Had a great time. Later that night, Mark was asleep in the hotel room. The boys are still wide awake, which, you know, teenagers and kids can stay up all freaking night long. We're old. We're passed out. We don't know what's going on.
Right.
Dylan, who was 12 at the time, decided to play a game on his dad's laptop while Corey was watching TV. Mm-hmm. And Dylan starts calling Corey over in a panic, like, Corey, come here, come here, come here, come here. Look at these pictures. Oh, my God, what is this? So Dylan had opened a file containing pictures of their dad. Now, in dad's defense, I will say these pictures had been deleted, and I me or Misty, neither one, we ain't tech savvy. We not lucky that we can even produce this podcast. Yes. Whatsoever, like, that it actually makes it onto the internet. So I don't know how this, I don't know much about it. Anyway, the pictures had actually been deleted. I don't know why this kid was looking like in the deleted files or like in the trash bin, or I don't know.
Right.
I don't know the circumstances. So Mark had made an attempt to delete these pictures.
Okay.
But the boys were still able to pull them up. And we have 12-year-old Dylan pull these up, and he screams at Corey to come over here, like, freaking the fuck out. Corey runs over. And before I even describe the pictures, I'm just going to have a real-time reaction here Misty here seeing one of the worst ones.
She has her sheet of paper up covering the laptop. Okay. What? It takes a second.
She can't say anything.
To even process. Oh, my God. That's disturbing.
Okay. I'm gonna describe to you what she's seeing here.
Oh, God. You can take it down. So, that shit's horrible.
She said take it down. Okay. Unfortunately, they found pictures of their father, who at this time is 49. Between 49 and 50. So we're talking about a 50-year-old man who has long hair, a very thick, full mustache and beard.
And it makes me gag so bad.
He is wearing women's lingerie with a woman's dress on top. He's also wearing pantyhose, high heels. Well, you know what? I wouldn't even blink twice at that.
Right. Live your life, be fierce and fabulous.
The problem we have with this picture.
Yeah, that is not the issue at all. Not the fucking issue. Oh, God.
Is the fact that he has worn a diaper, and he has shit. He has pooped.
He pooped
in the diaper.
It's terrible seeing the picture. It's horrible to hear the word poop.
Well, not everybody's allowed to say shit
on this podcast. I feel like shit is way more appropriate.
Okay.
Oh, God, it's horrible.
Listen, he done filled this diaper full of runny dark shit.
It's so bad.
It is running.
And Chrissy just got it up. She won't even take it down.
No, it's running out the side of his diaper.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, I'm going to show you the rest of it. It's running out the side of his diaper. You can see it's like brownish green. I need you to get a good mental image.
God, it's
down his leg. So then he proceeds to take the diaper off and put it in his mouth.
No.
Shit first.
No.
He has pictures of the shit matted in his beard and mustache.
It's so bad, y'all. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it to yourself.
He has pictures of him with his tongue out, dipped into licking.
Oh, it's so...
the shit. There are pictures of just, you know, him in the lingerie, kind of floating around, doing his thing. Mm-hmm. And...
fuck you, Christina, please. Fuck you.
I told you we're going to make a lot of
girl,
fun.
I don't even know if 90 proof is strong enough for that.
And I didn't even... these ain't even all the pictures. I saw a picture of him literally where he had scooped the poop up into his mouth.
No.
And stuck his tongue. It was on the end of his tongue.
You know, just some people shouldn't be here. Some people shouldn't be breathing the same oxygen.
I feel like if you want...
that's disturbed.
To eat.
That is so disturbed.
Okay. Let's break this down. If you want to... if you want to... if you want to play with poop...
no.
That's one thing. If you want to...
no, that's not one thing. That is put, that is wrong as well.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just going to break it
down. I'm
going
to go ahead and say what I say on this one. If you're playing with shit, it's wrong.
It is wrong. But, okay, you can play with poop. That's one thing. You can play with poop and eat poop. That's one thing. But for poop to cause...
it's so disturbing when you say poop. Shit.
For shit... for physical, runny, warm, smelly shit, for that to cause a sexual arousal?
No, 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 no.
So let's stop and think about
no,
that.
No, let's not. Let's have a shot.
I mean, we've all seen Two Girls, One Cup.
No.
I don't know if it was real or not, but I have seen these pictures of Mark Redwine. This shit is real.
Literally.
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 That's no, some real shit.
It's so horrible.
It is in his mouth. It is in between the cracks of his teeth.
No.
It is matted. It no. is matted shit.
That is.
On his tongue.
Look, I can hear people be like, I can't do this shit no more. Literally.
I bet you we just
clicking
lost.
Out. We just lost everybody right there.
There went all our listeners.
Please try again next week.
I can't make it up. I'm not making it up. If you don't believe me, I swear to God, right hand to God.
Don't do it, guys.
If you Google Mark Redwine, the very first Google search is going to say Mark Redwine poop pics. Try. Try and see if I'm lying.
Don't do it. You can't unsee it.
Okay.
You cannot unsee it.
With all the description of that shit... let's just go ahead and take one more
Please.
Shot.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to have my mouth on fire right now. I feel like I need to shower.
You just want to get that shit taste out of your mouth.
Yes.
Because you physically see it. Look,
it's horrible.
Hold on. Let me pull
this one
up. I don't
need to look anymore.
Look
You've
at this
kept
one.
It up for far too long.
Look at that one.
Fuck you. Fuck you, Weezy. Louise, fuck you.
God, I love it. Fill your cups up, bitches.
Oh.
Cheers, bitches.
Oh, I love it. I didn't even go chase it because I want it to burn.
You want it to burn. Yeah, I'm going to have to close those pictures now. I can't.
God, that's horrible. Damn, that's bad.
I mean, I don't want to see it out of the corner of my eye while I continue because it's really bad. Okay. So now that we have described...
we've ruined everybody that's listening.
If you're... listen, if you're out there still listening...
you didn't have a therapist before.
...an ending to this story. Okay, let me get there. So, Corey describes to the police how this was something his mind could never dream of. Nobody could ever.
No.
So, he described how he and Dylan were just sitting there in silence. I mean, if you see your own father.
No doubt. I'm going to have to process.
Right. Like, they're just sitting there in silence. And the first thing Corey does, like a typical teenager, I'm not going to lie. If it was me, I'm not even a teenager. I'm a full grown ass adult.
Right.
But the first thing Corey does is get his cell phone out and take some pictures.
Yes. Because I still would be thinking, I think, I'm not seeing this. Like,
right.
I'm not understanding.
I would 100%
what I'm seeing here.
My iPhone would have been out immediately taking some pictures.
And then I'm probably going to send it to you and be like, what the fuck is this?
Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Am I hallucinating? I'm looking at right now.
So Corey takes some pictures. So they just had, the boys had the pictures pulled up on the lap screen.
Right.
Lap screen.
I knew what you meant.
Laptop screen. That
and the two people left listening, they need to.
Well, they just had the pictures pulled up on this laptop screen, and then Corey took photos of the computer.
Right.
And Corey immediately looks at Dylan. He's like, look, we're going to keep this between me and you.
Yes.
Like, do not tell anybody about this.
We don't need to make
this.
A move right now.
And most importantly, do not let Mark know that we found these pictures. Like, yeah. Our dad cannot fucking know.
Yeah. I wouldn't be prepared to have that conversation right. that
and
quick.
That is not that I'm saying it's... It didn't bother Corey, but I can understand why he waited a little while to tell the police. Because, first of all, that's your dad and your brother. You're
True.
Not going to want to believe it. You're going to keep fighting and look for him. But I think around this time, Corey had come to the realization that Dylan's not coming home. Something really, really bad has happened.
Right.
And so he thought about it, and he's like, I'm willing to give them anything that might help him.
Right.
If he did this to my brother, I want him to fucking burn for it.
Right.
He's
connecting the dots
yes.
here.
Yeah, and it took a minute because it's your own family. And he's still a kid too. I mean, he's 20, but he's still a kid too.
Sure.
He's trying to figure all this shit out. So I understand. I wouldn't go to the police day one and be like, oh, look at these pictures of my dad eating shit. I mean, that's not what I would do
either. Well, and just the shock of, oh my God, I can't believe we're having to look for somebody
that's my
missing.
Brother. My dad's not helping. What is going on?
I think about that with some families when you're having to make that call because your child is missing. You're like, I am really making a fucking phone call to the police because my kid is gone. Like, this
I
is
can't
really.
Find my kid. Yeah.
So I could see how things may not come.
They move in slow motion.
Yes.
And I think he was
in
a daze.
Shock. Sure.
And him and his mom and his brother are so close. And here that he and his mom are looking for Dylan, their main focus was on Dylan, not necessarily ratting out Mark.
Right.
Until it came to that point, Mark's fucking responsible.
Yes.
Let's rat out Mark.
Yes.
And then he's like, look at these pictures of my dad. You
yes.
know? So he showed him. Anyway, once the investigators see these pictures, they're like, bitch.
They're like, oh.
The spotlight turns right back to Mark. Or
it
never even really left. How about it just gets a lot brighter on Mark?
Right.
So, like I said, they're out there having that protest outside his house.
Yes,
and that was January 2013. This is where it gets even crazier. Bitch, February of 2013, Mark, Elaine, and Corey, all three appear on an episode of the Dr. Phil show.
Fucking Dr. Phil. God knows.
Bitch, it's a two-parter.
Oh, my. I know it was.
And I'm going to be honest. I did not watch it in its entirety. I didn't. I'm not a real big fan of Dr. Phil anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know
how
much therapy he does. It's more drama and ratings more than helping people.
Yes.
So I didn't watch the entire thing. But I saw enough of it. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Elaine looked completely broken. She looked like a mom that was completely broken, number one, physically, number two, emotionally. She spent all her time looking for her kid. It's been months. She's not found her kid and totally blames Mark, and she just looked heartbroken. I could see it all over her.
I mean, I can't.
Corey goes on the show. I mean, you remember the Dr. Phil setup? For those of you who have not seen Dr. Phil, they're just sitting in a stage on these chairs, right? And they would have one person on one side of Dr. Phil and one person on the other, like facing
each
other.
And then he's in the middle.
Right. So Corey and Elaine are sitting together, and Mark is sitting across from him, and Corey gets emotional, and he's telling his dad, fuck you. I fucking hate you. You've never been a dad. You've never been anything to me. And by this time, because, you know, Corey's already gave the photographs to the investigators. Mm-hmm. So by the time they get to Dr. Phil, Corey gives Dr. Phil the photographs.
Shut the front door. Okay. So did Mark know?
Mark did not know beforehand, but he had a very convenient explanation for the photographs.
There could be no convenient Explanation. Okay. Give it to me.
Mark goes on to tell Dr. Phil that he himself, quote, made up those pictures. And he left them out for bait. Mark's telling Dr. Phil he truly believes that from November to now it's February, that when he has not been home, Elaine and Corey have been coming in his house, like rummaging, looking through his shit, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. He's saying that Elaine and Corey have been breaking in his house. So he said that he made up and manufactured these specific pictures and left them out for bait so that when Elaine and Corey broke into his house, they would see him. He left them available so that they would see him and take them. And mm-hmm. then he would know that they've been breaking into his house.
What an idiot.
You know.
What an idiot.
I mean, it's 2013.
Who is going to buy that?
Right. It's 2013. If you want to know if somebody's breaking in your house, get a motherfucking camera. We had them in 2013. It wasn't that long ago. It was 11 years ago.
Exactly.
It was 11 years ago. I had security cameras 11 years ago.
Wow.
But instead of getting a security camera to see if they were breaking in, he says that he went as far as to make up these pictures of him eating shit. He said that it had to be something like crazy enough that they would not pass up on. Does that make sense?
None of that. That is complete bullshit.
But that's his story.
Yes.
He's like,
he's saying they're so wild and outlandish, I knew they would take them and I could prove that they were in there.
Exactly. Instead of just getting a security camera or like a deadbolt.
Right.
He manufactured pictures.
Right.
Like, he physically put on the women's lingerie. That's, there's, you can say it's fake shit all you want, but you really in that diaper, and you really in that women's lingerie.
Yeah.
And you really got your tongue in, I mean, that matted up shit is on your tongue. Whatever you want to say it is there. I don't know of anybody who would go to lengths like that to prove somebody was breaking in their house.
That is, no, exactly. That's so ridiculous of a story.
Well, Dr. Phil didn't buy it either.
Good.
And, you know, while everybody in America's watching this shit, this two-parter, so were the detectives. They even recorded the Dr. Phil episode. They
Hell
had that
yeah.
shit on DVD because they brought that out at a later date and time.
Yes, absolutely. You're like, thank you, Dr. Phil, on this one.
So after the Dr. Phil show, police received hundreds of leads, but none of these panned out. Mark was questioned again after the show, and Mark again told detectives that he thought Elaine was behind Dylan's disappearance and that he thought the show was just a public forum for Elaine and Corey to publicly accuse him of doing something to Dylan. And Mark said, I just expected too much from Dr. Phil and he let me down.
Mm-mm. No.
I mean, how does somebody who eats shit, enjoys it, takes selfies of you diving face first into your own diaper.
It's so horrible.
Feces. Runny.
No.
It was matted in his mustache.
Oh, God, it's terrible. It's so fucking bad.
How, if you can do that to yourself, how can anybody let you down?
Bitch, we're down to just me and you at this point.
Well, I think it's
me and you and some broad slab.
Is I what think it's it is. A great fucking story.
Oh, God.
We're going to take one more shot.
We
I know
do.
It's tough. It's tough. I just feel like if we're going to keep going at this pace, we're going to need
bitch,
to keep
I'm
drinking.
I'm going to need that because I can't leave.
It might be down just me and you, but you can't go nowhere.
Right.
You're right here.
You still got somebody listening, girl.
Cheers, bitches.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I need that to sting for a minute, though.
Oh, good God.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, good
right.
God. Okay. Investigators told Mark, look, everything leads back to you. Everything.
Yes.
I mean, if there was an accident, just tell us. We'll work with you. Tell us what we need to know. Mark tells him, you know, I'll take this into consideration.
What?
Yeah. But tells him nothing. And we all know without a body, there's not enough evidence.
Right.
I mean, if Cardi B's taught us anything, no face, no case.
Mm.
So if you don't have some physical evidence, you have nothing.
So poetic.
Right? But the harsh winter, you know, the season had slowed the search for Dylan. There's only so much they can do on this mountainside. Because I'm not even talking about being able to walk up and down this mountain. I'm talking about having to rappel.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's harsh terrain.
Oh, wow.
They're way up there and way out there.
Gotcha.
They literally close this mountain in the wintertime.
Because it gets so bad that you can't even...
It is unpassable whatsoever.
Okay.
No vehicles, no ATVs, no... Don't even walk. Because if you walk up, we'll never find you. You'll die. I mean, like, they close the whole mountain during the wintertime.
Wow.
But once spring came around and the snow melted, they were not going to give up. So they start searching again. And I just want to give a shout out to Roy Vreeland. He's an older gentleman, but I watched his interview and watched him talk about how much effort he put into this search.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about this horrible terrain, you know, harsh seasons, harsh temperatures, below freezing, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And as soon as he could get back out there, he did. He wanted to find this baby.
Yeah.
As soon as he could get back out there, he did. So, thank you, Roy Vreeland. We need more people like you in this world.
Absolutely.
So, once the snow had melted, they're getting the search party ready. How about somebody calls Roy Vreeland, and he does not identify who.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody called him and told him, hey, guess what? Mark Redwine was just coming out of the woods in Middle Mountain on his four-wheeler. This is the exact area they wanted to search previously, but couldn't because of the weather. So they're like, fuck it. That's spot number one where they're going. And they immediately start searching in this area.
Right.
It does take until June of 2013. The search had been gathered and they had planned a 3-day long search. They had 35 dogs. Mm-hmm. With handlers.
Oh, wow.
Multiple ATV searchers, multiple people walking, horseback riders, rappelling teams. I mean, they had everybody come together. I know it took till June, but that's how long it took for everybody to be able to come together and then be able to search
and get up there
this
and,
mountainside
safely,
all of it at one time. And while they were there, this is when they find a youth size 7 Nike Air Jordan shoe, and that was the breakthrough because this was identified as Dylan's shoe. The next day, the cadaver dogs were brought to the area where they found the shoe, and two dogs automatically started alerting. And when they look down, they start seeing bones.
Yeah.
So the second dog alerted, and one large bone was found. And when the searcher was looking for anything else, she looked down. She's literally standing on one. She had to move her foot.
Oh, my gosh.
So that they could collect that one. Once they collected these bones, they were identified as Dylan Redwine.
Oh.
So I know we're making a lot of fun because this is a shitty story.
He's a murderer that eats shit. I'll say whatever I want to about him.
But I don't want to take away from the fact that this poor baby, I can't imagine.
He didn't deserve anything that happened to him.
And I told you, my 90 proof's kicking in and I hate this motherfucker for what he...
Look, everybody should at this point. Anybody that's still listening.
So the lead investigator, which I thought was awesome in this case, was a female. You know, I love
girl power.
Right? All right. And this... First of all, I watched several of her interviews. I watched the special on Peacock, which I have linked if you want to watch, you know, the TV version of it.
Right.
And then I watched her depositions. I watched her get on trial. I mean, get on the stand during trial. I love this bitch. She doesn't take no shit. Doesn't fucking love her. Her name is Tanya Galbraith.
Mm-hmm.
She calls Mark. She's the one that calls Mark to tell him, holy fuck, we just found Dylan's bones.
Right.
Right. So she's going to call and deliver this horrible news to him. Well, before she even calls, she has another recording device set up that's recording her
making
calling, making this call. When Mark answers the phone.
Bitch.
He says, hello. She says, hello, Mark. This is Tanya. How are you? And Mark says, oh, hello, darling. How are you doing, darling? And right then, I wanted to fucking donkey kick him in his stupid fucking face.
I just feel like he has a lot of stank ass breath.
Right. Probably. Mm-hmm. Don't get me started. Yeah. And she's like, okay, how are you doing? And he says, I'm living the fucking dream, living the fucking dream. Mm-mm. And she's like, are you drunk? And he says, nope, not at all. She said, why are you talking to me like that then? And see, I'm like, she called him out.
She's like, oh, we're going to snip that right
before
there.
Before I even gave you any information. Yes. Why the fuck are you talking to me like that?
Right.
I love her. I love her. And he proceeds to tell her that she needs to pull her head out of her ass and that women are only good for one thing and it's not cooking or cleaning.
Uh-uh. Mm-mm.
If you don't have enough reason to hate him, let me give you a little more.
Oh.
He tells her that he doesn't think she's capable of handling a situation like this, meaning his missing son. Mm-mm. And Tanya's like, wait a minute. You don't think I'm capable of handling this, and I'm calling you to tell you that we found his remains. Obviously, I handled this case.
Yes.
From start to finish.
Handled. He was missing. Shit-eating motherfucker.
Right. Like, he was missing, and I'm calling to tell you I found him. This is closure, right? Yeah. One would think, right? Well, Mark's like, just because you found 2% of him does not constitute finding him. That's what he's saying. And she's like, Mark, yes, it does. It means that we have found Dylan's remains enough to know that he's dead. We know that now.
Yes.
We're not looking for a live person. We know that he has passed on, and I've brought you that information.
Right.
That is enough to confirm. And Mark just keeps arguing. He's like, no, only if you only bring me 2% of his bones, that does not mean anything to me.
What an idiot.
Yeah, so make it make sense. Oh my God. Make that make sense.
It doesn't. There's no way to do that.
And they had found some bones, 2% of the bones, but they had not found the skull or the cranium. And this was really crucial to find because this would determine Dylan's cause of death.
Right.
We know he's passed on. We have found his bones, but what happened?
Yeah.
We still don't know what happened.
Right.
Mark, who has been quoted by more than one person, I have seen Corey say in an interview, that's his only surviving son.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen two, not one, but two of his friends, Mark's friends, say in an interview that Mark has said it does not count until they find the skull.
Mm-mm.
And until they find the skull, they'll never be able to prove if he was murdered or not.
No.
Mm-mm. I'm a parent, okay? And if you find a fraction of my kid's bones.
Right.
I'm going to be devastated.
Devastated.
Do you think that I'm going to argue with
you? It's very clear. It would be very clear even with 2%.
You found his shoe.
Yes, that he is dead.
You have found his bones. I don't need any more than that. That's enough proof for me.
Right.
And this motherfucker is almost being candid about it. He's like, they didn't find his skull. And if they don't find his skull, they ain't found shit. I'm like, what? Mm-mm. Wait, mm-mm. What?
I mean, it couldn't point any more to him.
Right?
If he put on a shirt that says, I fucking did it.
Well, here's a pivotal point in this case. So, because they have found the bones, the investigators come back to Mark's house and it really didn't say, or I don't know, rather, if they're doing another search or if they're just giving him information or gathering information.
Right.
Whatever the reason is, when they are there, they're in the garage, and one of the investigators notice that Dylan's missing fishing pole is back.
Oh, how convenient.
So they're like,
what
wait
an
a minute.
Idiot.
Right, right.
What
they're
an
like,
idiot.
Wait a minute. Mark, where did this fishing pole come from? And Mark said, oh, when I was backing out the four-wheeler, because, you know, the search party had seen him coming out of the woods on the four-wheeler. So we know he's moved the four-wheeler.
Right.
When he said he was backing the four-wheeler out, that the fishing pole kind of fell over. So the four-wheeler had hidden the fishing pole. So he's saying the fishing pole was there all along, and he just didn't realize it until he moved the four-wheeler. But the investigator said, you a motherfucking lie, because we photographed this entire fucking garage.
Right.
And they did. I saw the court documented photos. Every square inch of that damn garage was photographed. There was not like one far back pick.
Kudos there on was, good police work right there.
Right. Yeah. There was a bunch of photographs in and around that four-wheeler.
Right.
There was no fucking fishing rod around that four-wheeler.
I'm like, tell me another lie.
Right. Like, tell photos don't lie. Photos don't fucking lie. They initially based their entire search around that lake and that dam because of that fucking missing fishing pole that Mark was pushing them towards, remember? So for him to be stupid enough for this fishing pole to just fucking show back up, like, that don't even make sense.
Yeah.
Everybody knows he's full of shit. But there's still no physical evidence to tie Mark to Dylan's cause of death, period. All right, we're going to skip all the way to November 2015. This is almost 3 whole years since Dylan disappeared. Because he disappeared November 2012.
Right.
And this is November 2015. Hikers find a skull in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this was 1 mile from where his bones were found. But it's 1 mile straight through the woods. If you were traveling by road, it's 6 miles.
Okay.
You would not be able to travel from ATV from where the bones was found to where the skull was found.
Okay.
So somebody had to have taken a road or walked.
Got you.
You either walk and drop it or you drive and drop it.
So he either walked with his kid's head.
We're getting there.
Okay.
I'm going to get there. Okay. I'm going to get there. I just wanted to set it up. It's 1 mile through the woods or 6 miles by road.
Okay.
Investigators felt like, okay, we think this is Dylan's skull, obviously. Mm-hmm. So they have it tested. Yes, it is. Elaine and Corey felt some sort of closure and was trying to move on with their lives. Like, okay, now we found his skull. Let's bury what we have and let's just fucking move on. There's nothing we can do at this point. Right. Let's move on. However, 2 years later in 2017, and I know I keep doing some time jumps here, but 2 years later, 2017, a new district attorney was elected. His name is Christian Champagne, and he had worked on this case previously as a deputy district attorney.
Okay.
But now that they've had this election in 2017 and he is the district attorney, he wants to open this case back up.
Hell yeah.
He's not satisfied.
All right, Champagne.
That nothing ever came out of it. And he actually talks Elaine into putting this case in front of a grand jury. And what that means, you present it to a grand jury and they let you know whether you can
proceed with charges
or not. Right. Well, the grand jury said yes.
100%.
Not yes, but hell fucking yes.
Yeah.
So the indictment for Mark Redwine came back for second degree murder and child abuse resulting in death. Now, there is some information and evidence that they gave the grand jury that I haven't told you about yet, but we're fixing to review some of that.
Okay. So
it's not a bunch of hearsay. They had more proof.
Oh, okay.
But it just wasn't released to the public at this point.
Okay, gotcha.
That Christian Champagne had kind of held on to this evidence.
Hey, do and what once you he got do.
Elected, right? He's like, this is the evidence I got. Let's move forward. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was a good
play.
He
didn't have to do that.
Right.
That case was several years old. I mean, we're talking 2012, 2017. This guy could have easily let that go. But he was like, no, I have this evidence and I want, right? Right. So they get this indictment from Mark and the officers are trying to serve this warrant for his arrest.
Right.
By this time, Mark is a big truck driver, like a tractor-trailer.
Yeah,
tractor-trailer driver. And he is in his truck at a truck stop.
Okay.
I kid you not.
18-wheeler.
Right. He's in his truck at this truck stop. They, like, bum rush up to the truck. And he looks scared to death. He looks like he could. He looks like he could soil his pants. He has might on enjoy as well.
That,
yeah,
he might enjoy that.
And they get him out of the truck. They put the handcuffs on him. They're putting him in the back of the cop car. And I've seen the video of this too. He's like, "What am I being arrested for? What is it?" And they're like, "Second degree murder and child abuse resulting in death." And this motherfucker looks dead in the camera. And he says, "I have absolutely no idea what you're referring to. I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no clue what this is regarding." He said the words, "I have no clue what this is regarding."
Your son that's missing.
And that you know is dead.
That you know is dead, yes.
By the time this trial started, so by the time they got him arrested and got him in jail and then got the lawyers, got everything, it had been 9 years. 9 years. Since Dylan has been gone. The first person they put on the stand was Elaine. And Mark's attorney tried to make her look like she had a vendetta against Mark. And that's where all this spawned from.
Right.
They're like, she's a bad person. Yeah. And she didn't like Mark. And the she's angry blaming
ex-wife.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that shit fell flat quick. Like, quick fast.
Yes.
He's the last one that's seen him alive. She's like, "How are you going to make me a martyr? I got him safely to his father. He was with his father safely. You have that shit on camera. Everything goes downhill with his father. How the fuck you going to blame me?"
Right.
So, yeah, that didn't go far anyway. Then they show the poop pics in court on the big screen for everybody to see.
Not on the big screen. Not on the big screen.
On the big screen.
No.
And the reason they showed these pics was to prove that there was a potential motive, at least for Mark to lash out against Dylan.
Absolutely.
Like, "Oh, you don't believe that he could be mad? He's eating shit.
And his children found this.
This is a reason he could have been mad enough to do this," you know. They even fucking showed a clip of the Dr. Phil show during his trial, girl.
But Dr. Phil loved that.
And that's where Mark was describing how he took the pictures himself and left them out available for Elaine and Corey to find.
And did they say, "No, sir, they were taken on a phone from your laptop.
Right.
You didn't have them laying out anywhere."
Right. Corey got on the stand as well. Corey tells them Dylan originally found the pics. He tells the story for the jury. He breaks it down how it happened, about how they even found the pictures. And Corey describes Dylan as being just disgusted.
Yes.
As anybody
I'm fucking
would
disgusted,
be.
So I couldn't imagine seeing my own father be. Oh.
And he basically says, "After we found those, neither me or Dylan had a reason to have any respect for our father after that."
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. The jury still, they want to see some hard evidence though, right? And they want to know Mark is responsible for Dylan's death before they prosecute this man for killing his own child. We got to know.
Right.
So one of the things the prosecution did was recreated Mark's entire living room. It was in a separate courtroom down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought the jury, the judge in. They, in this recreated living room, gave the jury the ability to see, like, in real time, the full scope of all the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the proximities of where the tables, couches, you know, how everything would have played out together. So some of the evidence they had that we didn't know before was there was blood on the couch. On both couches, actually. There was blood on the floor. There was blood on the coffee table. And all three of these deposits were 100% Dylan Ridwine's blood.
Mm.
Dylan's skull was brought into evidence. And the forensic anthropologist Diane France testified that Dylan was 100% murdered, or excuse me, died from blunt force trauma. From the evidence found on his skull. So we're not saying he was murdered, but we're saying he 100% died from blunt force trauma. So what can cause that other than a murder, right?
Right.
Well, the defense is saying this could have been done by an animal out in the wild, specifically a bear. But considering his skull, only the skull, was found a mile or maybe even a little bit further than a mile mm-hmm. from the rest of his bones, that contradicts what normally happens in nature.
Right.
So they have this forensic, what'd you say?
Anthropologist.
Saying that he died from blunt force trauma to his head. Mm-hmm. And then they also bring in a wildlife expert, Jerry Apker, and he testifies it is very, very abnormal for, even though it is physically possible, it is very abnormal for a bear or mountain lion or anything else that could actually grab a whole skull and right. carry it for a mile and then drop it. That's not something animals normally do.
Right. And I guess the skull didn't show any evidence of like animals
there was
biting,
no punctures.
Chewing,
no.
scraping.
No, it was just the crack in the
where
skull.
The blunt force mm-hmm. trauma mm-hmm. happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So the defense was never able to make a plausible argument about how Dylan would have ever even got on that damn mountain in the first place.
Right.
The kid, so he lived with his mom much further south than Colorado. It was warm.
Right.
So when he got off the plane, because you can see him in the CCTV footage at Walmart, right. he's in a t-shirt and shorts.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
So how the fuck would that kid be on the side of that mountain in the first place when you can only rappel to get there
right.
in a t-shirt and shorts? Explain that to me.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So don't tell me that he was up
there. Or the
there.
Fact that he would even go, because at 13 he would realize, you know, it's cold out there. I don't have the right equipment or anything
available.
To
right.
get where I need to
right.
go. Yeah.
Right. You know, so that was kind of played out pretty quick that he could have gotten killed, much less eaten by a wild animal, mm-hmm. because how the fuck would he have got out there in the first place?
Right.
How do you don't just wind right. up on the side of a mountain. And the jury paid really close attention to Mark during this whole trial, especially when they were describing how Dylan was killed and how his remains were found. Mm-hmm. Mark had zero. And when I say zero, I mean zero reaction. He almost acted like he was fucking bored during this trial. Mm-mm. For real. For mm-hmm. real. And he never took the stand.
Well, obviously, he is a very fucked up individual.
Well, we know
like,
that.
We can't understand his responses
because
right. they're so far
right.
out there.
The prosecution argued that Dylan had kept quiet for a while, okay? But that particular day, Mark and Dylan had gotten into an argument after they got back to Mark's house because Mark was telling Dylan that Elaine and Corey were really bad influences on him and that Dylan needed to move to Durango and live with Mark full time. Mm. And this made Dylan mad because he knew he had a wonderful mother and a wonderful yeah. brother. And we know this is documented because we have text receipts that this conversation took place because Corey had gotten a message from Dylan right. asking him to send, quote, the poop pics.
Mm.
He said, I want the poop pics you have of our shit-eating dad wow. because he gave me a speech about you guys being a bad example and why I want to show him that I know what he really is.
Oh, no.
And Corey hesitated because he knew that he knew Dylan was upset. So
right.
he knew they were arguing. He
right.
knew things were heated.
Yeah.
But Corey said, you know what? If you're feeling this type of way and you want to say something, he sent him the pictures.
Right.
So that he could say something.
Right. And I mean, I get what Corey's saying there. Mm-hmm. And hindsight is always 20/20.
Yeah.
But
if you were arguing with your dad.
Yeah,
if you
I
were
totally
my sister,
see where he's coming from.
I would have sent you the piece. I'd be like, cuss that motherfucker
hell
out.
Yeah. yeah. I totally see mm-hmm. where he's coming from. Then you realize he's 13, he's 6 hours away, and he's arguing with an adult that would take pictures
yes,
eating
of
his
that.
Own shit.
Yes.
So.
And he was so young.
I'm also looking at it through a mom's eyes,
right.
an adult's eyes, you know.
Right. Well, the trial lasted 5 weeks, but the jury only deliberated for 6 hours, and they came back with a guilty verdict.
I would have been like, it would have been sooner, but we had lunch.
Right.
So
there was an audible gasp from the crowd when they read the verdict. But again, Mark had zero reaction. Zero. In the end, Mark's never going to admit he fucking killed his 13-year-old son. And the child was very small. Like I said before, like he's a little fella. Like a little how could you not only literally hit your child on the head long enough to kill him, but you fucking fractured his skull. You hit him on the head hard enough to fracture his skull, which killed him. But then you went as far as to physically cut your own baby boy's head off. You had to have, I mean, he had to have done that.
Now, could
he remove his child's cadaver head?
That's crazy. But I'm wondering, did he dump his body on the mountain and then drive his head?
Yes. I 150% believe that because of all the comments he's made and how snarky he was about, even though they found his bones, they didn't find his skull, so it don't mean shit.
Right, right.
He fucking did that.
And the cadaver dogs hit in his vehicle.
In his living room, his kitchen, and the back
and
of his truck.
And they also found blood, especially in the house where
in the living
the
room,
dog
yes.
hit. Yes.
So. Yes. He did that to his own child. And then physically had his mm-mm. child's head, carried it back to his vehicle, put it in his vehicle,
I can't even.
Drove 6 miles up the road and dumped it somewhere else. I cannot.
You have to tell me.
You shit-eating bastard.
That he is either dead or that he is living his worst life.
Elaine and Corey both gave victim impact statements at the sentencing trial. And Corey said that he wanted Dylan to be remembered as the strong, courageous 13-year-old boy that stood up to his 50-year-old shit-eating father and said all the things he regrets not saying.
Wow, I feel that, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Good on you, Corey, man. I get that.
Elaine was asking him, like, she looked at Mark's eyes and she's like, that was your 13-year-old baby boy. And he had big, huge blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was small. She's like, how? How could you?
I would, yeah.
Kill your own child and then cut his fucking head off.
Mm-mm.
It's unimaginable. Yeah. The judge asked Mark, you know, do you have anything to say? And Mark said, no, I do not. And the judge was like, well, you had a lot to say at the probation office after the trial. You wrote them, and I quote, innocent of all charges. This is a miscarriage of justice, a fake conviction with a sham trial. The judge told him he was disgusted in the fact that he had showed no remorse in his criminal activity and that this community needed to be protected from him.
Absolutely.
The judge went on to say, as a father, it's your obligation to protect your son and keep him from harm. And instead of that, you inflicted enough injury on him to kill him in your own living room. After the passion of whatever caused you to act this way, you didn't think about Dylan. You only thought about yourself.
Yes.
You sanitized the crime scene. You hid Dylan's body. You even went as far as to remove the head from his body. And the absolute most he could get was 16 to 48 years. The judge gave him 48 years plus 5 years parole.
Yes.
Concurrently. Damn that 90 proof.
Concurrently. That is a word.
I mean, that's a different. Served concurrently. And I will say that Mark is in prison in Colorado, and he has tried two different appeals. He still says he has nothing to do with Dylan's disappearance and that it was
and
just
murder.
A sham trial. He's trying to get, like, his conviction overturned for differences in the trial. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. what the fuck, bitch?
I hope that he is getting beat down every day. Every day. I hope he's been shivved a few times.
I want him to be really, really, shivved would be good.
Yeah.
I don't even want his asshole to be raped. I feel like he would like that.
And that's exactly why I didn't even go there,
and
feel like he would like that.
Any shit or anything
involved. No, I don't want him,
I need some physical fucking pain.
If anything, I hope that every chance they get, they shiv him and then, like, douse him with Clorox in his mouth. I hope they call him a dirty motherfucker every time.
Trying to clean all that shit out of him.
Yeah.
I feel like he needs to lose all his fingernails, too.
I mean, that would work.
If you're listening, will you just pull out a couple of his nails for me? This This 90 proof has made me kind of
I know.
Meaner.
We went dark, didn't we? We went
dark. I hate this bastard.
I know. I get it.
Listen, if you want to wear women's clothing,
have at it.
If you want to be gay, if you want to dress trans, I don't give a fuck what you want to do. But
that's
if your children find pictures
of you eating shit,
then you have to you don't even have to explain. I don't even want an explanation. I just want you to say, yes, it was me. Don't look at that again. And that's all he had to do. And instead of doing that, he killed his own child.
Right.
He beheaded his own child, his own flesh and blood, his baby boy, to keep this secret that the whole motherfucking world knows about.
Ain't
today.
That some karma?
And we have all seen the pictures.
Ain't that some karma? Because, you know, he probably won't be alive when...
I hope not.
I hope not.
I hope he dies in prison.
Yeah. But if he
because
were
he
to be out...
Because he doesn't need to be out.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But if he were to live to be able to be out, mm-hmm. I hope that he would be harassed on a daily basis. I hope they would post the shit-eating pictures.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you Google, like I
don't,
said...
Don't, guys. Don't
Mark
do it.
Mark Redwine. The very first thing that's going to come up is poop
pics. It's horrible.
Pics.
Don't do it.
Check
it's
them
so
out.
Bad.
And if you're interested in some even better pics, I have all the court-documented pics.
No.
In our show notes.
No.
Click on the link.
Don't do it. Do not do it.
We're going to wrap up one more shot for
Dylan.
Yeah,
I need another shot.
Dylan, honey.
That is horrible.
He was really brave. And he was standing up for what he fucking believed in. And he was
100%
right.
Yeah, he was. He was.
I feel so sorry for that kid.
And he had a shit dad.
Literally. Did not fucking deserve it.
No.
But this is for you, Dylan, and Elaine and Corey. I can't imagine the heartbreak they're going through.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a mom, if you were forced, like legally forced to send
your kids.
That
makes me sick in the pit of my stomach to think of what you just have to go through knowing you're sending them somewhere that
they don't
do want to
go. They're begging you not to go. And she
and you,
talked
and
to
I
her
feel
lawyer.
Like if my kids came to me and they were that, like, I don't want to go, I would know something has happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
And she didn't.
And they may not even want to tell you,
right.
You know, or they may say nothing and not tell you.
At that point, she did not know because they had
no,
not told
obviously.
Her about the pics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, too, not just the pictures, but Dylan didn't want to go either because apparently his dad talked a lot of shit about his mom and his brother.
Right.
And kids 13, they don't want to hear that.
No.
Just be their parent. Don't talk shit about their
right.
other parent.
Talk shit about the other parent when they're not there.
There, right. If you're
to
dad,
your friends.
Be dad. When you have the kid, just be dad. Or just be mom. Don't involve the other.
Yeah.
So I think there was a lot of shit talking, a lot of, you know, just bad
right.
blood. And Dylan didn't want to go. And then he had these pictures.
That would definitely change the way you would look
exactly.
at your father.
Exactly.
100%. Exactly. So
this is for Dylan. I know you're at peace now, honey.
Yeah.
And hopefully Elaine and Corey have gotten
I hope that
some
they
peace.
Can find happiness. Yeah. Absolutely.
Fill your cups up. Cheers, bitches.
I need that window. I ain't even going to chase it because I need that to burn so that I can clear that out because this was horrible.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anybody left out there.
It might just be me and you.
Is the poop pics murder.
Terrible. Terrible. And if you are listening and you still love us, then maybe go check out and buy some Murder and Moonshine merch. The link is in our show notes. Go shopping. And until next time, be good, stay out of trouble, or don't get caught.
Bye, bitches.
We hope you keep listening and find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Murder and Moonshine.
We would love to hear from you. You can send us an email at murderandmoonshine@gmail.com.